Ana.
Good afternoon, good evening.
Hello, good afternoon.
Were you the first one, Anna?
I don't think so, but there was no voice, but I didn't get the music, so I think that meant someone was on.
Okay,
Malka.
Let me check.
Malka.
Hello.
Okay. I'm here. Malka's here.
Malka. I was saying hello to Malka. We haven't seen each other in a couple of weeks.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you, Malka?
Fine, thank you.
So I had promised you that I would have a alternative structure for the number of letters and the number of the components of the letters. And I completed that, but I hadn't had a chance to get it verified through my intuition and my meditation. So I'm going to get that off the next week. I just didn't have the time, and I apologize for that.
We well understand.
So, Time is a process, that's all I can tell you. if you go to the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 11, you'll see second column from the left, you'll see the advanced reincarnation sections. When that opens up, scroll down to class 21. And we didn't complete section, chapter 17, section 1. But we did
we
part
did
of
open.
It.
Oh, I thought you were asking a question. I'm sorry.
No, I think I'm going to say what I remember, and then you can confirm it or disagree, and that's fine. We did part of it up to the link that says, let us see through this essay.
Right.
And then we got into the essays. So I think I'll just start with my commentary and then continue down with this page. Then I'll start with the Lachemia food. Malka, do you have any questions about that? Actually, there are 304,805 letters in the Tanakh, and approximately 175,000 in the Torah, which is concluded in the Tanakh. How is this teaching of the sages reconciled with our modern computer counting? And we've opened up the link, and we'll come back to it hopefully next week. From a modern midrash that comes from a mathematical-oriented student of Kabbalah. And now we're continuing with the Sefer Sha'arei Gilgulim, the Gate of Reincarnation. Therefore, there are 600,000 explanations on the level of a Peshat, on the level of the Remes, and on the level of the Drash, and on the level of the Sod. It's an unwritten commentary, but it's 600,000 on each of the levels. From this, we see how important each individual is. Each of these souls has its own original, custom-made connection to the four ways of learning. Therefore, no matter how much Torah has already been written, there is always place for you to come along and give the world new ideas. My commentary. It is time to realize that you have Torah to reveal. It can be revealed by you and taught by someone else, or it can be both revealed and taught by you. Ultimately, you have Torah to reveal. What this means is that each individual has some aspect of the Torah to reveal that is a new revelation. It may be on the level of Peshat, or on the level of Remes, or on the level of Drash, or on the level of Sod, or on all of the levels, or only part of the levels. This is like a tikkun. It is actually part of the tikkun. Only you can reveal this Torah. If you do not reveal it this lifetime, then you will reincarnate and do it the next lifetime. At the root level, the Torah and the souls are one. This is a teaching from the Zohar. Thus, for every one of the 600,000 explanations, there is one Jewish soul. And in the time that is coming, each will know Torah according to the explanation that corresponds to the root of that person's soul. In the Garden of Eden, after a person has died, he will understand all of it. If so, why should one toil to understand the Torah in this world? The answer is the more one learns about the deeper, and the deeper one understands, the higher level he starts learning at in the afterlife. My commentary. I have difficulty with this concept. I know from my Zohar study that souls study the Torah in the Garden of Eden while waiting to be reincarnated or for the rest of us to complete our tikkunim. One explanation is that one studies the Torah that they revealed. This chidush, which is Hebrew for new, Torah revelation, is brought to Hashem, and the revealer is announced in heaven to Hashem. My understanding of this Zohar is that one studies what one revealed, what one revealed as a chidush, a new teaching. In essence, one learns all aspects of this revelation. And perhaps my understanding is incomplete or incorrect. Furthermore, every night when a person goes to sleep, he deposits his soul above. The one who merits to ascend above. Later, the Ari enumerates what one can do to gain this privilege. The one who merits to ascend above is taught the explanation upon which his soul root is based, the extent to which depends upon what he accomplished that day, either a verse or a particular parasha, because that day the specific verse shone in him more than other days. Since his soul is rooted in that verse, when he accomplishes something positive, it is a reflection and a revelation of the verse itself. Thus it says about the words Torah, they are our life and we will meditate in them day and night. One who has eyes can see everything going on around in its root in the Torah. This greatly deepens the consciousness and the level of life. I am adding, this is why Kabbalists rise at midnight to study Zohar and Torah. There is another explanation of meditating them day and night. Another night, a different verse will shine in his soul based upon his actions that day, always according to the explanation upon which his root is dependent. Originally, a great, awesome light shined that spanned the far-flung ends of the creation. God saw that not everyone would be fit to enjoy such a light. He therefore hid it. Nonetheless, a little bit of this light must shine to the world every day, or the universe could not endure. Each day is a gift from Hashem and comes to us with its own secrets, derived from the bit of life allotted to during the day. Every night, my teacher used to look at the forehead of the student standing before him on the side upon which his soul dwelled and illuminated. The soul manifests at different times in different parts of the body. My commentary. The above few paragraphs are expressing the idea that Hashem recreates the universe each day. Each day has its own specific energy, and each part of the body receives the light of that day in a unique way. Therefore, one reveals Torah through study, and that study is unique because it is on a different day and a different physical location on the earth. And the earth has traveled through space and time in such a way that the same word is not the same word. We must internalize this truth so that we never become bored and understand the concept of new, and determine which verse is shown more in that person. He would then explain a portion of the explanation of that verse according to that which was relevant to his soul. Even one who is not himself pure enough to merit to such revelation alone can still benefit from this level through being connected to a true tzaddik. My commentary. This is why we recommend that one say the name of the tzaddikim that left the world on that day. By speaking the name of the tzaddik, we connect to the tzaddik and the Torah that that person reveals during their life. Torah in this sense is not the word studied, but the way the person lived and how it relates to specific verses in the Torah. Bless you, by the way. I think that's what happened, but if not, was there a question? I'll just continue. You see the link for the list of the tzaddikim, and we've already done that today. We could do it again and it wouldn't hurt, but time is always limited, so I'll just move on. Continuing to read. This also allows one to maintain a daily connection to the energy of the day through the Hebrew calendar. Before the person would go to sleep, he would concentrate on that which was partially explained to him. He would also recite the verse in order that when his soul ascended for the night, they in heaven would teach him the completion of the explanation. This would purify the soul and allow it to keep ascending to even higher levels, where more would be revealed to him. His body may not have sensed anything upon awakening. The Vilna Gaon teaches that there are certain boundless levels of Torah that the soul cannot perceive while clothed in the limiting body. In order to enable the soul to access these levels, God created sleep. The soul leaves the body and is thereby allowed to perceive in its intrinsic full capacity, even though this level does not necessarily reach the consciousness or the conscious level. The light of it enlivens and invigorates the person to a higher degree of spirituality. Also, if one merits, sparks of what he learned trickle into his daily state of mind. That is the end of section one. Are there any questions? Section two of chapter 17 is titled Soul Roots in the Shoulders. The 600,000 explanations of Torah include the levels of Peshat and also Agadah. The term usually used for the Midrashic sections of the Talmud, but which can apply to all Midrashim. I am adding, to many people, Agadah means metaphor. In my worldview, it just means that a story that proves a lesson happens in a dimension or world that is part of our universe, our world, our timeline. Yet we do not have it happen where we can see it. These midrashim sometimes conflict with each other and therefore are impossible for both to happen. Sometimes people do not know how to deal with this, and so they determine the Midrash is not revealed Torah from Hashem. There are different levels of Midrash, just as there are different levels of every aspect of Torah. There is not one Jewish soul that does not include all four levels of explanations. And Kabbalah and are alluded to by the letters of the word Pardes, Pei, Resh, Dalet, Sod. There is not one Jewish soul that does not include all four levels. But there are some souls that can grasp only two levels of explanations, while others can grasp three, and some can grasp four. I am adding, there are known geniuses in Torah throughout the centuries who find that they are not able to comprehend the Kabbalah level of Torah. This is not to indicate any lack within them. This just applies to this particular lifetime. They will learn these levels when we combine all the lifetimes. This is the meaning of the sentence above that says every Jewish soul, meaning spiritually acting person, will understand all four levels of the Pardes as it applies to Torah. The soul of Moses was able to grasp all 600,000 explanations of Torah, as the sages indicated when they wrote that he knew even that which every student would eventually innovate. This was because his soul incorporated all 600,000 Jewish souls. Moses is the grand soul root of Israel. all the souls for all generations that branch out of him are existentially as his students. He therefore automatically knows each person's special Torah portion and the novelties that come with it. Likewise, the rest of the wise men of Israel will grasp according to the amount of souls included within each. One time, a person came before my teacher who looked at him and spoke to him about a certain matter. I am writing about it here in case one can make connections and understand other matters regarding the performance of mitzvahs. This is what he wrote for him. With regard to both positive and negative mitzvahs, there are those which are considered masculine and some which are considered feminine. The positive mitzvot come from the male, active movement in the soul, as opposed to the negative mitzvot, which comes in the female, passive motion. I'm adding. With all due respect to Rabbi Auerbach, in my opinion, the male mitzvot are those that share, like a peace offering, which is shared with other people, while the female mitzvah is one that receives like an oleh offering, the burnt offering, which is received by Hashem through the smoke that is a sweet favor or sweet savor to Hashem. All of the 248 limbs of the souls of Adam are comprised of what is called flesh, tendons, and bones, as is known. The flesh and the bones are the positive mitzvot of that limb, and the tendons are the negative mitzvot. Later, with the help of Hashem, we will explain that these tendons are not included in those that comprise the 365 tendons. He told him that the root from which his soul was taken was the left shoulder limb of Adam, from the level of the partsuf of Leah standing behind him. The number of mitzvahs in that limb called the left shoulder are 11 positive mitzvahs, the numerical value of Vav and Hey, the last two letters of the tetragrammaton. Their gematria is equal to ketet, meaning shoulder, in a manner called haka'ah, collision. A form of gematria that takes the letters and throws them at each other in the collision of multiplication. The letters are the basic building blocks of existence. We can accordingly look at them as the atoms of the root spiritual plane from which all comes. The process here outlined can thus be viewed as a type of atomic letter, collider. As we will see, the results are indeed explosive. Hit. Multiply Vav Yud Vav, the expanded form of the Vav of the Tetragrammaton, which has a gematria of 22, and Hey Yud, the expanded form of the Hey, which is 15. 22 times 15, and they equal Shin Lamed, 330. Vav Vav then take another form of Vav expansion, 12 times Hey Vav, 15, and they equal Kuf Hey, 180, for a sum total of Taf Kud Kuf Yud, 510. If you subtract 11, the number of Vav Hey itself. The root letter values of this equation are not included in that daily tally, in that final tally. The reason for this is that the point of this spiritual formula is to utilize the energies extracted by multiplication. And what remains is Tav Kuf with the Kolel. Tav Kuf is 500. I am adding. It is confusing as we play with the gematria, the noterican, without the Hebrew letters to see what is actually going on. 500 is Tav Kuf. Soon, Rabbi Auerbach will exchange these two letters for three letters that have the same gematria. That word is katef, kaf, taf, pe. Katef means shoulder, as this is the subject that is being referred to as the source of these mitzvot mentioned above. Unfortunately, this is not explained. The first word means standard or backside, for your information. There is always an option to add one to the numerical value of every word. The gematria of the word tells us how many inner lights energize it. Then there is a singular surrounding light that encompasses all of those energies. It can therefore always be added. I am adding. This is not my understanding of the Kolel. There are specific rules as to when the Kolel is to be added due to the word being connected to the upper spiritual world and when the Kolel is to be added for each letter due to the letters being connected to the upper spiritual worlds. These rules come from a document attributed to Rabbi Akiva and has, as far as I know, have not been translated into English as of yet. The gematria of Katef, the idea is that we see how the energies that comprise the shoulder come out of the power of Bav Hei, of 11. This shows an inherent connection between Bav Hei, the number 11, positive mitzvot, and the shoulder, being that there are 11 positive mitzvot connected to the shoulder. There are 10 sephirot on the side of holiness. 11 represents the next step down, the spark that intentionally exiles and descends to the Sidra Achra in order to provide it with the necessary life force. I have the hiccups, and I am going to drink some water to see if I can remove them. So please, excuse the interruption.
Amen.
Thank you. So let us now continue. From Bav Hei comes the lower seven sephirot. They span until Malchut, who is the secret agent central. It periodically descends to redeem its exiled sparks. Vahe is thus the battery that energizes the revelation of divinity in all of the far-flung outcast corners of existence. Every positive mitzvah possesses this power. They therefore are all drawn from Vahe, the root energy for this. This is in line with the teachings of the Ramban, that the main acquisition of perfection is through the positive mitzvot, whereas the negative mitzvot are designed to guard the soul from bad energies. Through fulfilling the positive mitzvot, manifestation of godliness spreads through all of reality. However, there are 15 negative mitzvot in the shoulder limb, like the first two letters of the Tetragrammaton, Yud and He. As the sages said in explanation of the verse, this is Shmi, the Hebrew word for my name. This is Shmi forever. And this is Zichri, the way I am to be mentioned for all generations, which is Yud He, which Shmi equals 365. And the Vav-He with Zichri, 237, equals 248. It's a teaching of the Zohar. These two letters are also totaled the gematria of Katef in the following way. Yud Vav Dalet times Yud He, 20 times 15 is equal to 300. Yud Vav Dalet, 20 times Hey Hey, is equal to 10, which equals 200, for a total of 500, the gematria of Katef. This demonstrates an inherent linkage between Yud Hey, the number 15, negative mitzvot, and the shoulder, being that there are 15 negative mitzvot in the shoulder. From Yud-He comes the upper three sephirot. They are the source of the mental faculties. The negative mitzvot are primarily to protect the soul from falling into the sitra-akra. The eyes of the sage are in his head, is a verse from Ecclesiastes. The beginning of wisdom is fear of God, comes from Psalms. Yud-He is higher than Vav-He. On the outside, action seems to accomplish more than passiveness. On the inside, there are times that the opposite turns out to be true. No matter how much you do, that's as far as it goes. Whatever was done, and no more. When you don't do anything, it is certainly less, because you have accomplished nothing. However, there is a positive aspect to doing nothing. Only through not doing, that is, through doing the negative mitzvot, does one connect with infinity. How does one do them? When they come to hand, if someone never has the opportunity to commit murder, he gets no reward for having not killed. However, if the opportunity presents itself to kill someone that one wants to kill, this is called fulfilling that mitzvah of not to murder. At that time, one connects with the infinite aspect of nothingness that lies underneath the simple zero. This elevates the soul to connection with divinity far beyond what it accomplishes by doing. And this is the secret of why the negative mitzvot are rooted above the positive mitzvot. This is hinted to in A Woman of Valor, is the crown of her husband. A woman of valor are the negative mitzvot. The crown of her husband are the positive mitzvot. Through the simple aspect of guarding the negative mitzvot, the soul is saved from falling into the klipot. The positive mitzvot come up every day, and it is through actively doing them that the soul draws and connects with God's light. However, when the negative mitzvot do come into play, in a hidden way they give the soul access to rare, precious, and boundless levels that complement and augment the lights of the positive mitzvot. I am adding, I suggest that we reread this commentary from Rabbi Auerbach once again. These comments are important, and while not well explained, they do need to be understood. Please ask questions. I understand Bli Ayin Hara has his comments. The question is, do you? The Ari specifically chose to explain the mitzvahs of the shoulder. What remains to be understood is the connection of all this to the shoulder. And in general, we need to understand why the Ari specifically chose to explain the mitzvahs of the shoulder, when each limb has mitzvahs that come from it. As mentioned, most souls stem from the gland, Cain, and Abel roots. Later, we will be told that they themselves are rooted in the right and left shoulder of their father, Adam. Since these roots that are found in the shoulder include most of humanity, the Ari here uses them as the classic examples of limbs that mitzvahs come from. And for this reason itself, we find the Tetragrammaton hinted to in the number of the mitzvahs in the shoulder. For it shows that the point of these souls' creation and succeeding obligation to fulfill mitzvahs is in order to reach complete attachment to Hashem. It is the mitzvahs that provide access to godliness through connecting us with the medium of His name, the divinity conductor. I am adding, when Adam sinned, the right and left shoulder fell. These mitzvot relative to the mistake of that particular sin. When one realizes that these mitzvot were involved with the two sons of Adam and the actual mistake, we can start to understand, along with the discussion of the sages, what actually was the mistake. Please hold on a second. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You have a good one. However, we still need to fathom why God made the Cain and Abel centrals rooted in the shoulder. There are three parts of the mind drawn from Chachma, Bina, and Dat. From Chachma and Bina come certain abilities. Dat does not add anything. Rather, it fuses these right and left mental powers. Curiously enough, the Ari calls the right and left side of the mind Yitron Da'at, the crowns of the mind. From this comes the Chachma and Bina clothed the two shoulders of Ari Shantin. The light of these two shoulder loops descends and energizes the mentality as two crowns. They are called crowns because they come from the surrounding light, which always surrounds and crowns the level beneath it. original test was with the tree of knowledge. Therefore, the whole soul scenario focuses around the source of knowledge, the mind. The rectification of the mind is made through the drawing to it of the surrounding lights. Therefore, are the soul centrals rooted in the shoulders, the source of drawing these lights to the mind. Hanok adds, actually, this is incomplete. All surrounding light has the purpose of begin drawing to become inner light of the level below it. The right and left shoulders are Keter of Chesed of Adam and Keter of Givorah of Adam. The lower level for Adam is the shoulder. The surrounding light of Adam went down to the shoulder, and in time, through the process, will become the inner light of the shoulders of Adam and inner light of the person of Cain and Abel. I hope this clarifies these teachings. This is the end of section two. Does anyone have any questions? Does this seem to be a little bit confusing?
Well, I think it's one of these that you have to go back and reread, especially when we got all the numbers and multiplications. If I would have asked the question, it would have been the one that they asked, and then why was it the shoulder? But there was an attempt to give that answer. But I definitely need to reread it.
But the reason I'm asking the question is I'm trying to decide if we should go on to the third section on this page or stop here today. We have a little bit of time, but my sense is that the material needs to be absorbed. Go ahead, Maka.
My thoughts, and I'm not quite sure why, but we talked about the building blocks, and I think, from my point of view, is that the right and left shoulders are the building blocks for the positive and negative aspects of the tree of life, and you know, you keep building, you know, when you build something, you build it on foundation. And that's just like, you know, our children, we always want to make them better than what we are by teaching it'd be teaching through the negative misfits and the positive misfits. So to me, it's like I'm not sure what type of building blocks, but that's kind of what I see. You know, you stand strong on a foundation, and I find shoulders, in a physical sense, you know, you place someone up on your shoulders and you build them up. And I don't know why my thought pattern went that way, but that's what I think.
That's interesting.
Okay, what I thought was, you know how the tetragram is written vertically, so that it almost looks like a human body. You know, with the yod and then the next
Mark,
day.
Go ahead, Connor.
Okay, I didn't know if I was muted or not. But I kept getting that picture of the tetragrammaton in that vertical position where the yud is the head and the shoulder, it looks, you know, is the hay. The hay looks like the shoulder. In other words, the tetragrammaton has an image, so to speak, of a human body. And And I don't know, I thought, well, as things move from the spiritual world down, you go from the head to the shoulder. So in a way, I understand what Malka's saying about it being a foundation. I mean, we usually think head down rather than feet up.
Well said from both of you. I think I'm going to stop here for today.
Okay, I really want to reread
and we'll
it.
Pick up. Yeah, it takes a lot. And also, I will try and correct the bolds. Everything is not bold. Some of it is commentary, and so that's helpful to determine, you know, who's been doing the writing here. And there's just a mistake. I have to track it down, so I hope to do that during the week.
Sure.
So you all have a Shavuotov, and we will continue tomorrow. Tonight we'll count the Omer if you're able to join us. That'll be 7 p.m. West Coast time.
All right.
Thank you.
Shalom to
okay.
all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.